Hello, friends. Hello, everyone. On the eve of Chinese President Xi Jinping's visit to Russia on 19th March, I was interviewed by Russia Today, and I was asked how I view the Western heavy-handed sanctions against Russia. I said that Russia has been isolated by the West, and the West has been isolated by the rest. And why so? The reason is, in fact, quite simple. While Russia's military operation in Ukraine is controversial, one of the Russia's professed objectives is to change the unipolar world order led by the United States into a multipolar world order. And this objective is widely supported, or at least understood, by the non-Western world. And their support for or understanding of this objective is buttressed by the fact that now major non-Western powers like China, Russia, India, Iran, and more openly call themselves civilizational states. They may differ in one way or another on how to define exactly the concept civilizational state. Yet, they seem to agree on at least three themes. First, they are all respectively a unique civilization. Second, they are fed up with the Western imposition of its values on them in the name of so-called universal values. And third, they resist the Western interference in their internal affairs. These rising civilizational states are indeed challenging the liberal unipolar world order. And the world is thus witnessing a shifting global order from a vertical one in which the West is above the rest to a horizontal one in which the West and the rest are on a par with each other in terms of wealth, power, and ideas. Not to mention other non-Western powers, China alone has contributed more to world economic growth than the G7 countries combined. China contributed 38% to the world growth, compared with the G7's 25% to the growth over the past 10 years, according to the World Bank report. And the U.S. weaponization of the U.S. dollars in its sanction against Russia has only led to ever more non-Western countries to abandon the use of dollars in their international trade, a huge blow to the existing unipolar economic order. Last year, 70% of Sino-Russian trade was conducted in their local currencies, and India, Brazil, Iran, Turkey, Indonesia, and other major non-Western countries are all promoting trade in their own local currencies. It's also true that in international relations, Western powers have long pursued a strategy of divide and rule since their colonial times. In contrast, major non-Western powers, notably China, following its own tradition of a civilizational state, pursues just the opposite, that is, unite and prosper, as shown in the massive display and as shown in its massive Belt and Road Initiative, BRI initiative, which proves to be popular with most countries. And China also believes that this idea of unite and prosper represents the best interests of the Chinese people as well as most other peoples. With Washington's political power and the moral authority waning fast, both at home and abroad, it's only natural for the non-Western countries to draw their inspirations from their own cultures and civilizations as a way to distinguish themselves from the discredited American liberal model, its unipolar hegemony. Interestingly, the idea of a civilizational state is also appealing to many in the Western world. For instance, facing with the daunting challenges of Europe's renationalization, French President Macron almost openly admired the idea of civilizational state when he referred to China, Russia, and India as such examples, and declared that France's historical destiny was to guide Europe into a civilizational renewal. For those on the right in the West, the model of civilizational state is one way to defend traditional values and resist the excess of ultra-liberalism and widely perceived cultural degeneration or decadence. And for those on the left in the West, this civilizational state model shows due respect for indigenous cultures and traditions as a way to reject Western imperialism and the excess of neoliberalism. Indeed, the rising civilizational states of Eurasia define themselves mostly against the liberal West, while the West is now struggling to define its own identity, which seems harder, in fact, than it is for China or Russia. For one thing, the liberals have long preached so-called universal values beyond the national boundaries, beyond the civilizational boundaries, and believe their values are universal. Neither Western, nor European, nor Judeo-Christian. Yet, as European political scientist Bruno Marseilles claimed, that the liberal West is now dead, reflecting his sympathy for a revolt against global rootlessness. However, can the West exist as an independent civilizational entity? British scholar Christopher Cooker notes, neither the Greeks nor 16th century Europeans regarded themselves as Western, a term which dates back only to the late 18th century. Some Western liberals advocate a return to Europe's Enlightenment, yet it was obvious that the Enlightenment liberalism with its universalizing tendencies led the West to its current dilemma, which have severed the West and Europe particularly from its own cultural roots. As political scientist Marseilles notes, Western societies have sacrificed their specific cultures for the sake of a universal project. Indeed, a culturally, socially, politically divided West, as the case today, still has an uphill battle before shaping a common civilizational identity, if any. In the medium to long-term perspective, as the world order becomes increasingly more horizontal than vertical, and as the West and the rest are more on a par with each other in terms of wealth, power, and ideas, we are likely to witness the rise of more civilizational communities or states, self-claimed or genuine, of which there may well be a Western civilizational community on a par with other ones. Hopefully, the Western unilaterally defined universal values will be gradually replaced by certain common values endorsed by the whole international community, such as peace, humanity, development, international solidarity, and one human community. And all civilizational communities should make their contributions to this noble endeavor in the interest of all mankind. Okay, I will just speak on all this for now, and thank you very much for your patience. Thank you.